He's good, he's good, he's good, he's good, my Lord Jesus, he's good, oh Lord Jesus, he's good, he's good, he's good, omnipotent, he's good, hallelujah, he's good. My Lord Jesus is good. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, this sermon is going to be very brief, because you know we have spent some time, but I'm going to have to record it. So give me, just bear with me for a while. He's good. He's good. I will praise him. Oh, he's good. Hallelujah. He's good. My Lord Jesus is good, he's good, he's good, Alpha and Omega, he's good, hallelujah, he's good. My Lord Jesus is good, he's good, he's good, my Savior is good, he's good, omnipotent. Is good. My Lord Jesus is good. Praise the Lord. Open with me to John chapter 11. The topic of this sermon is going to be the Lord Jesus said he is the resurrection and the life. John chapter 11. And the Bible verse I'm going to point out, which is where I'm getting this topic, this title from, is when the Lord Jesus Christ came to raise up Lazarus. Now he was talking to Lazarus' sister, Martha, in verse 25. So the title of this story is going to be Christ Who Raised the Dead. He is the one that raised the dead and is able to do greater things for us. When he came to raise up Lazarus, he declared, verse 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now the main message I'm going to briefly summarize for you today is to say, Christ that raised the dead. Anytime the Lord Jesus Christ raised the dead, what happened to those people that were raised? I'm going to give three or four examples of the dead being raised in the scriptures. When the Lord Jesus Christ raised, the first person is the daughter of Jairus. Mark chapter 5, verse 38 to 43. When Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, do you know something? I started wondering about this. The Lord did not ask question, what was the cause of the death? Was it sickness? Was it disease? Was it cancer? Was it accident? Whatever it is, he just raised this girl back to life. Not back to the sick bed. That is the key. That's what I'm trying to point out. Every day that he raised, he didn't raise them back to the sick bed. He raised them back to health. Meditate on that. He said, he is the resurrection and the life. So whatever was the cause of the death does not matter to the Lord God Almighty. Well, you think about it. He said he is the one that is going to call all the dead that are in the grave for thousands of years. The Lord Jesus Christ said, he is the one. Let's read that. So you know I'm not just saying it off my head. John chapter 5. Gospel of John chapter 5. Verse 25. Verily, I say unto you. That was the Lord Jesus Christ talking about himself. The hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. All that are in the graves shall come forth. You mean the bones that were dried up? Yes. And they shall come forth? Yes. Oh, suppose they were actually burned to ashes. I mean, they cremated them. He said, they shall come forth. Meditate on this. Jairus' daughter was sick, and the man heard about Jesus. He ran to Jesus in Mark chapter 5. You can read it yourself. I'm not going to go through all of these Bible verses. Verse 38 to verse 43. Before he got to Jesus, there was a long delay. Another woman touched Jesus' hem of his garment. And there was a delay. While he was still talking to this woman, people came to meet Jairus and said, well, forget about the master now. The child is dead. You don't need to worry about the master anymore. And Jesus Christ said, fear not, only believe. When the Lord Jesus Christ got to the place, he didn't say, what was the cause of the sickness? Was it cancer, so we know what to pray for? No. He just called the girl back to life. Back to health. That is what I'm pointing out to you here. He that is going to call the dead out of the graves and bring them from bones, no more flesh, and bring them back to life, alive again, he can do greater things for us. So he told me to preach this prayer. I'm already talking about this because it's going to make me pray at the end of this sermon. We're going to pray for ourselves, pray for healing of our body. Because if he is able to raise the dead back to life, he can heal your body. Not so. Oh, well, he said, well, you know, this fellow said, well, that arm was cut off. Oh, this one was, he lost his arm in the battle or something. He said he's going to call them back to life, back to health. Oh, well, this one, they said he has brain damage. You know what the doctor say? If the fellow has been dead, doctor, he has been dead for 4 days. And what do the doctor say? Well, there have been no circulation of oxygen to the brain. So he's brain dead. That's to the doctors, brain dead. But to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lazarus was brain dead. 4 days in the grave, isn't it? Is that correct, brother? Praise the Lord. But when he called him back to life, it doesn't matter whether he was brain dead or he had no brain because they have transplanted it. You know what they do now in the nowadays? When they see somebody that says he has sign that they should take his part of his body and give it to somebody else. Gee, you mean they do that now? Yeah, they have been donated to somebody. Bone marrow is donated to somebody. Kidneys donated to somebody. Oh, how will the Lord raise that one now? How will the Lord Jesus raise that one now? This boy, the next verse in the Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 15. The Lord Jesus Christ came to a city called Nain. And as he came to that city, Luke chapter 7, verse 11, they said a dead man was being carried out to the grave. A lot of people were following the crowd. The son of one woman who was a widow, the only son of this widow woman. And the boy was dead. And Jesus Christ heard about the situation and he stopped the procession. He stopped the procession. Well, you know something? Maybe that boy's heart has been cut out. Because after he's dead in the hospital, they transplant his boy's heart or his bones have been, or his eyeballs. Jesus Christ didn't ask the question and say, well, what happened to his heart? Let's see whether everything is still there. Maybe I can read. No. Bible says he called the boy back to life. You may say, well, in those days they don't do that. Yeah, maybe they don't do that in those days. But whatever it is, he didn't even ask what was the cause of the death. Was it a gunshot? No. He just called the boy back to life. I'm trying to make you to see the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection. And this is the power that the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing to us in this end time. The power of the resurrection. So if he can call us, and people didn't believe it, so he said, well, we have to make it much, much tougher. So he heard about his friend Lazarus sick. So he said, well, we have to prove it to them this time. So he waited 4 days. By the time he got there, Lazarus was already in the grave 4 days. That was the story we are reading in John chapter 11. And he told the disciples, let's go there because I'm going to wake him out from the sleep. And he said, well, let him sleep. If he's sleeping, he's going to be fine. We don't want to go to that place again. They wanted to stone you the last time. He said, well, don't worry about that. He said, are there no 12 hours in the day? So when he got there, Lazarus was in the grave for all this. And the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say, oh, well, what was the sickness? What was the disease? And when he raised him back to life, he didn't raise him back to the sick bed. He raised him back to health. That is the power of the resurrection. And he said, when I was preaching this on the radio, the Lord told me that the power that can do that is going to do that at the end time, pray that same power is able to heal your body. And we're going to pray for one another. It's going to heal your body. Whatever is your problem physically, we're going to believe God. God is going to heal your body, that power. Now, what is the caveat is this. It is not going to be my faith. It is going to be your faith. Amen? It is not, this brother is saying God is going to heal me. God wants to heal you. In fact, the Bible has already said, everyone that comes to Jesus, says it is according to your faith. Be unto you. So it's not going to be my faith that's going to heal you. It is your faith. So all I'm trying to do is to make you pop, no, to just pop up your faith. To see that this same Jesus, he called the dead out of the grave. And he called them back to health. No matter what you have lost in your body. Whatever the doctors have said. They say, oh, you know, something is happening. This is degenerating. And there's nothing they could do. That is to the doctors. But to Jesus, he can call it back to life. Amen? But according to your faith. According to your faith. Say, all things are possible to who? To him that believeth. Amen? All things are possible to, everybody say, with God, all things are possible. And Christ reversed, I said, to all things are possible to him that believeth. So it's going to be according to your faith that he's going to do this for you. So we're going to pray, because I'm sure it's going to be like 15 minutes, but I'm going to go into why we said it's going to be your faith. Well, you say, well, if it's my faith, I'm not going to get anything. You are going to get something if you just follow the precepts that God is going to lay out right here. It is the faith of the children of God that is going to be healing them. There was a time I was praying for somebody, and the Lord reminded me, I said, it is not that we are praying for him and he's going to get out of sick bed as the matter. It is that he should be able to hold his healing. You must be able to hold your healing after Christ has healed you. And that has been the problem with the church. You can pray for the unbeliever and this instant miracle can happen. But for the believer in the church, God wants the believers to come to the level where you are holding your healing. So you know how to resist the devil. The Bible says you are to resist the devil and the devil will flee from you. But that's for the body of Christ. That's for you and for me that are believers. Not for the unbeliever that have not known anything about Jesus. That is why on the crusade ground, miracles were happening. Miracles are happening. People want those miracles to be happening in the church. And it seems to be not happening in the church. Because we are missing something. What we are missing is the body of Christ is expected to come to every individual, has come to grow. You are to grow in your faith until you can stand on your 2 feet. If you have a baby that has been born and it's been just a baby, you are not going to be well pleased. The Lord is not well pleased if we are just babies for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. He wants you to be grown up so that you also can resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Because the Bible gave us this authority. He said, these signs shall follow who? Them that believe. That's you. That's me. The signs are to follow every believer in Christ. And the signs are, you are to cast out devils. That means you have authority over the devil. Not the pastor, not the preacher, not the evangelist. You, as a believer, you have authority over the devil. But God wants to understand that. Believe in it, stand by that, and use it. And the devil, we have to bow to your authority over him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are not doing your part, when you are not standing your ground, the Lord will fold his hand because he wants you to stand your ground, to be able to exercise your faith and resist the devil, and the devil will have to flee from you. Am I getting myself clear? That is, what I say, we are going to pray for one another for the healing of our body. God wants us to know that it's not going where anybody that is sick, come forward, I'm going to lay my hand upon you. No. The Lord wants you to know that you need to come to the level where you can pray. You can resist the devil. You can stand your ground. You can hold onto the faith and onto the promises of God and use those promises to resist the devil. The devil is to be under you, not under the pastors, not under the preachers, under every believer. Who is a believer? Let me see your hand. Is anybody that's not a believer here? Anybody that's not a believer? Then these signs shall follow you that is a believer. Amen? So these are the signs. Mark chapter 16. It said, they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. So you should be able to lay hand upon any sick person and not yourself. You should recover. Believe it. Amen? Now, what will make the Lord not to make it not to happen? Let's see what the Bible says. Exodus chapter 15. Let me point to one of the things that the Lord pointed out in the book of Exodus. Because the church in the wilderness, they are our example. Exodus chapter 15. Give me verse 26. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. When Moses took them to the water that was bitter, and the Lord turned the water to sweetness, he gave them a charge. And this charge that he gave to them is still the same charge he's giving to us today. If you will diligently hearken, to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. He said, I will put none of these diseases. Well, that you say, I will not allow this to be put upon you. It's not God that put diseases upon anybody. Understand that. The Lord does not put diseases, but this was translated from Hebrew to as if God is the one saying, I will put none of this. I will permit, is the right word. I will permit none of these diseases to be put upon you, which have been brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, if you understand that Bible verse, that is divine health. If he does not permit any of those diseases, that is divine health. You know, the difference between divine health? Divine health is when you can keep yourself from diseases and sicknesses. When you are kept from diseases and sicknesses, that is divine health. Now, the other verse is healing, when he said, I will take away diseases from the midst of you. That is in Exodus chapter 23. Verse 25. Peradventure, the enemy has already won some success in putting the disease upon the believer because of what? Because he is the accuser, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Then the Lord said, I will take away sicknesses from the midst of you. That is the healing. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. When the Lord takes sickness away from the midst of, that is the healing part. But the first part is divine health. I will not permit any of those diseases to be put upon you. Because the devil puts all those diseases upon human beings. But when it comes to the saints, you and I that are believers, the devil tries to come against you by first taking permission. Accuser of the brethren, what do you call it? He's going to try to accuse you. When you are not walking according to the precepts of the Lord. Now, the Lord paraphrased this in a way. He said, if you will do my commandments and walk in my sight and do that which is pleasing unto me. Paraphrasing that in the New Testament, he said, a new commandment I give unto you. Amen? Just one new commandment. What is that commandment? That ye love one another. Amen? The commandment of the Lord for us is love one another. We are to walk in love. So if you are not walking in love, then the devil has a way to accuse you. And once he's successful in accusing you, then you are open target for the devil to put diseases. But then the Lord said, if you repent and you walk in love, I will take away. God will take away those sicknesses from the midst of you. So that is the precipitation of the word of God that you have to rest upon. You see that also in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15, where it talks about healing. And Mark chapter 11, verse 25 is what I'm going to summarize and talk with. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Before we go into prayer, like I said, I'm going to just pray. We're going to pray generally for one another and see what the Lord will do. Mark chapter 11, verse 25, when we say you have to walk in his precepts, in the love that he commanded us, we must walk in love. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. This is talking about faith. Christ started from verse 22. He said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and you shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Verse 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive. Amen? Can you say forgive? Forgive. Forgive. Well, walking in love is that forgiving. Forgive one another. And that is the challenge I'm going to put to you. I want you to search your heart, because we are going to go into breaking of bread later in a moment. I want to search your heart. Do you have any hurt against anybody? Your family members? Your ex that you have not forgiven? Your spouse that you always have some loggerhead with one another? Or somebody that cut you off on the road? Or things like that. He said, walking in love. Because the devil will look for any way he could accuse you before the Father. And if he could see anything that he could accuse you of, you become a target for him to put sickness upon you. Now, don't get me wrong. There are many ways that sicknesses come upon people. Many ways. There are some that the devil can create. There are some that you just eat something that make you sick. So whether it is something you eat that make you sick, the Lord can take it away. Whether it is the devil that brought it, the Lord can take it away. Whatever else can cause sickness or disease, the Lord is the Lord of all. Remember that. So we're not just talking about the devil, right? We're talking about every form of sickness. The Lord said, I will take sickness from the midst of thee. But now he said, if you will walk in my statutes and do that which is pleasing unto me and keep my commandments. And the commandment is, walk in love. Love one another. If you love one another, he said, I will not allow these diseases to be upon you. And I will take it from them. He said, the number of your days you will fulfill when you walk in love. When you walk in love. I was talking to somebody on the phone yesterday, and I know the way they pray in their church, that it could be, Lord, let this thing return to sender. They have in their mind the sender. But that sender is a human being. They are not walking in love. You must be careful of how you pray. You are to bless. Christ said, pray for your enemy. You see, the devil is going to look for accusation. And you don't want to be accused before the Father that you are not walking in love. When you are not walking in love, then he said you will not be able to reap this benefit. This is what the Lord said. And when you stand praying, forgive. Forgiving is part of walking in love. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. That is in conjunction with verse 24, where he said, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. That is why walking in love is part of the need, part of the prayer, the underpinning for that answering your prayers. So that is what I'm emphasizing, that we are to walk in love. And then we are going to pray for one another, that the Lord can. He said, I pray ye one for another that ye may be healed. Even before he said that, he said, confess your faults. In walking in love, you may have to confess your faults one to another. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Because many times we try to follow the scriptures when we have somebody that is sick, and we try to follow the scriptures, but sometimes we are not following all the precepts of the Lord. Look at this, James chapter 5 here, from verse 16. Actually, from verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we are going to pray one for another. But there are still conjunctions. He said that, confess your faults one to another. We are going to do that also. If you have hurt against anybody, clear it from your heart as we stand up. Let's stand up. It's about 30 minutes. Let's stand up. We are going to pray. Like I said, this is not praying for you. I'm not going to pray for healing for your body. I'm just going to pray generally. But I want you to begin to pray for yourself. You are going to pray. Search your heart right now before we pray. Like he said, you are to walk in love. Then the prayers of faith will work for you. Then the enemy cannot have any way of accusing you before the Father. Like he said, if you walk in my statue, he said, I will take diseases out of the midst of you. From the midst of you, God will take diseases out. He will take sickness out of the midst of us. The number of your days I will fulfill. But you cannot hold grudges against anybody. Do you understand that? You understand what it means to have old grudge? You cannot hold grudges against anybody. So search your heart right now as you pray. Just search your heart. This is leading us into the breaking of bread. Because when we come to break bread, one of the things the Bible says you should do is to discern the Lord's body. The Lord's body is twofold. One is that we are members of the body of Christ. We have to be one in unity. But you can't have ill feeling against a member of your church, one person in the midst of the congregation, and think you are discerning the Lord's body. And Apostle Paul has given so many reasons why people fall sick, because God will just turn them over to Satan. So search your heart and say, Lord, if I have aught against anybody, I release them right now. I forgive them. Forgive them in your heart. That's what we are saying. Don't go and tell the person that I know I hate you. Somebody did that to me many years in Nigeria. They ran to me and said, well, we see. They said, before we have this breaking of bread, let me go and confess to Bradulus. Bradulus, I hate you. And so that's not the way to confess. Now, I didn't even know this man. I didn't know you hate me. That's like spewing on my body. So that's not the fault. He said, confess it to the Lord, for repent, is what he's really saying. Turn around from hateful thoughts and all the hurt that somebody has done to you, release them. Give them a benefit of doubt, that he said, love believeth all things. Love does not remember the wrong done to him. That's how, those are the Bible verses you are going to use. Love does not remember the wrong done to him. It's what the Bible said. So confess your faults one to another and then pray for one another. Now begin to pray for yourself now. Pray for yourself. If you have all, as I say, release it. Ask the Lord to wash your heart, to cleanse you with him, with his blood. And then we are going to go into the breaking of bread. And ask the Lord to help this bread that we partake of and the cup that we partake of to really mean something to our body. Because it's expected to be healing our body. The breaking of bread is expected to heal our body. But some of these hindrances, not walking in love, not walking in unity, they are hindrances to our prayers. So pray. I want to hear your voice. Just talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ was able to call the dead out of the grave for this dead. He's going to call all the dead out of the grave in the end. It's a smart thing for him to reverse what has been going wrong in your body. No matter what it is a smart thing for him to remove all the ailments. It is a smart thing for him to recreate even that which the doctors have cut out. It's a smart thing for him. But see, these are the hindrances. Say we are to walk in love. Then he will be able to do it for us. And we are to forgive one another. We are to walk in unity of the faith. We walk in unity of the body of Christ. We have to remember we are members one of another, the members of the body of Christ. Now I'm going to pray general prayer for healing. Just pray with me. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this prayer. Father, like your word has said, Lord, you are the Almighty God. You are the creator of our body. You are the creator of our flesh, Lord. You that is going to call all the dead out of the grave in the last day. It is small for you, it's small for you to recreate whatever we have missed, to reverse whatever the devil has damaged. You have said in your word, Lord, I will restore, said the Lord, the years that the canker worm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar and locusts have eaten. My great army that I sent among you. Lord, you said you are the one that sent that great army among the people of God, even in the days of Israel. It's not just talking of the locusts, the physical locusts. Even all those things that are causing diseases and sicknesses in man, they are living things, Lord, and you created them. And you have allowed them to attack human beings. But you said you are going to take those things out of our body, out of our midst. I will take sickness out of the midst of you. The number of your days I will fulfill. But we are to walk in your precepts. Father God, we are pleading the blood of Jesus upon us, Lord. The blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus upon our minds right now, Lord. That our mind will be purged by your blood. That we will be able to forgive one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we will be able to walk in love one with another in the name of Jesus Christ. That the unity of faith, the unity of the brethren can be realized in this congregation. In our house, in our body, in our life. Let your unity, Lord, let it permeate our life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And help us, Lord God, to walk in unity and walk in love and forgive one another. And then, Lord, let our body be healed. Every member of our body be healed. Our blood is healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Our members are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Our flesh is healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord God, because you have said, Lord God, I am the Lord that healed thee. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord that healeth us. So receive your healing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone that is healed, having any ailment, receive your healing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.